Well, this morning we are continuing our sermon series called Faith Flicks, in which we are using movies as illustrations for different theological themes. Can y'all guess which movie I've got? If you can't, you need to go back to the movies. Well, today, the scripture reading that I am going to read for you comes from Acts 20, selected verses. And this is a portion of Paul's farewell speech to the church in Ephesus. From Miletus, he sent a message to Ephesus, asking the elders of the church to meet him. When they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know I have lived among you the entire time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears, enduring the trials that came to me through the plots of the Jews. I did not shrink from doing anything helpful, proclaiming the message to you and teaching you publicly and from house to house. As I testified to both Jews and Greeks about repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, as a captive to the Spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and persecutions are waiting for me. But I do not count my life of any value to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the good news of God's grace. I know that none of you, among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom, will ever see my face again. And now I commend you to God and to the message of his grace, a message that is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all who are sanctified." When he had finished speaking, he knelt down with them all and prayed. There was much weeping among them all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, grieving especially because of what he had said, that they would not see him again. Then they brought him to the ship. In the late 1990s, I had what some of you might call a mountaintop experience. I was at Mingus Mountain Church Camp waiting for the onslaught of elementary children, about 120 of them, to arrive, and I decided to seek refuge in the outdoor chapel. And while I was there, I felt something that was impossible to describe. I felt the Holy Spirit's presence. And I felt the Spirit saying to me that God had something for me to do for my life. But what that something was, the Spirit didn't tell me. And so I was left wondering. For more than 10 years, I wondered. And then in 2004, or thereabouts, I was asked to be the director of Sidewalk Sunday School at Los Arcos United Methodist Church. And I remember asking God, "Is this what you meant on that mountaintop at the outdoor chapel?" But I still didn't get an answer. Well, then, later on, I felt the nudge to preach and to be able to fill the pulpit when the pastor was not going to be present. And so I took the training to become a certified lay speaker, which is several years worth of training. And I thought to myself, maybe this is what God meant. And yet still, no answer. Then in 2007, I had what some of you might call my aha moment. And that was when I realized that God was calling me to be a pastor in the United Methodist Church. And after a lot of prayer and discernment, I asked God yet again, "Is this what I am meant to do?" And the answer was yes. This is what I meant. And thus began a journey that would last for yet another 7 years. A journey that would take me to seminary, first in California and then in Colorado. A journey that inspired me to leave my previous vocation in pursuit of another. A journey that led me here to this church and with all of you. And a journey that now takes me to Faith United Methodist Church on the west side of Phoenix. It's been a journey full of ups and downs, a journey that several times I wasn't sure I was going to finish. It was a journey full of learning, of doing, and of self-discovery. And it was a journey that changed my life. Have you ever felt those kinds of nudges before? The presence of the Holy Spirit that you just cannot even seem to describe? Just a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Fred preached about God's nudges on Pentecost Sunday. He called them God's whispers, those moments when you feel the presence that's hard to describe, but you know that it comes from God. Have you felt it? And if you have, how have you responded? Were you like me who said, no, I can't do that? Or were you like Isaiah and Paul, who when they heard the call from God, said, here I am, Lord, send me. Well, today's message is about responding to God's call. And today's scriptures are all about Paul's conversion and his call from God, his journey from being Christian persecutor to Christian proponent. From the moment Paul encountered Jesus on that road to Damascus, his life changed forever. It was never to be the same. Instead of persecuting and killing the followers of Jesus, Saul became Paul, a strong voice for Jesus Christ. He traveled from place to place, teaching converts about Jesus' ministry and the mystery of the Holy Spirit, helping them develop a deeper understanding of God and developing their relationships with God. Now, Paul's call wasn't subtle like mine. In fact, it was more like being hit by a ton of bricks. And unlike me, Paul realized right away what God wanted him to do. And immediately, Paul began his new life, a life dedicated to spreading the gospel, not just there, but throughout the world. Paul's ministry journey took him all over the Mediterranean world. In fact, on the map on the screen, you can see the different journeys that he took as a missionary. Each of those is a different color, and there were 4 of them altogether. In some of the cities, like Corinth or Thessalonica, he started new churches and nurtured them to help them grow. In others, he taught about the Word of God and the mystery of Jesus Christ. But Paul never stayed in one place longer than a few years. That was the nature of his journey and of his ministry. He was called by God to spread the gospel throughout the Mediterranean world. And when God needed him to go someplace else, he went. No questions asked. That's what happens to many of us who are called to a life of ministry, especially pastors in the United Methodist Church. Those of you who have been in the Methodist Church know what I'm talking about. As United Methodist pastors, we agree to be itinerant, which means that we will go wherever we are called to go. Sometimes that means moving away from a church after 2 or 3 or maybe 5 years. Sometimes it means staying in a church for as long as 18 or 19 years. Appointments in the United Methodist Church are made from 1 year to the next. So pastors don't often know when it's time for them to move until they are called. And when the bishop tells a pastor that he or she is needed in another place, the response has to be, "Here I am. Send me." Now, you know that I'm not a pastor yet. Assuming that the clergy session at the annual conference next week votes to approve the Board of Ordained Ministries recommendation, Fred says maybe, then I will be commissioned as a provisional elder in the United Methodist Church. And I will be appointed to serve as pastor in charge at Faith United Methodist on the west side of Phoenix. I've been told that the vote is just a formality. After this journey, I am praying that that is the case. But assuming all goes as expected, today is my last day here at Gold Canyon United Methodist Church. This sermon is the last one that I will preach here in this church. So just like Paul, as he was getting ready to go on to Jerusalem and leaving Ephesus, I find myself having to say goodbye to all of you. Saying goodbye is never easy. All we have to do is look to the movies and we see a lot of tearjerker scenes, goodbye scenes, scenes that leave us reaching for the nearest tissue box as we watch the characters on the big screen tear up or cry uncontrollably. Films like Casablanca, where Rick, played by Humphrey Bogart, stares dreamily into Ilsa's eyes, played by Ingrid Bergman, and utters those timeless words, "Here's looking at you, kid." Or the film E.T. the Extraterrestrial, when E.T. the little alien points his long, lanky, illuminated finger right at Elliot's forehead, and he says in that crackly little voice, "I'll be right here." That one gets me every time. But you know, the goodbye scene that mirrors my experience the most is this one from The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, will you help me? Can you help me?
You don't need to be helped any longer. You've always had the power to go back to Kansas.
I have.
Then why didn't you tell her before?
Because she wouldn't have believed me. She had to learn it for herself.
What have you learned, Dorothy?
Well, I think that it wasn't enough just to want to see Uncle Henry and Auntie Em. And it's that if I ever go looking for my heart's desire again, I won't look any further than my own backyard. Because if it isn't there, I never really lost it to begin with. Is that right?
That's all it is.
But that's so easy. I should have thought of it for you.
I should have felt it in my heart.
No, she had to find it out for herself. Now those magic slippers will take you home in 2 seconds.
Oh, Toto 2?
Toto 2.
Now?
Whenever you wish.
Oh, dear. That's too wonderful to be true. Oh, it's going to be so hard to say goodbye. I love you all, too. Goodbye, Tin Man. Oh, don't cry. You'll rust so dreadfully. Here's your oil can. Goodbye.
Now I know I've got a heart, because it's breaking.
Goodbye, Lion. You know, I know it isn't right, but I'm going to miss the way you used to holler for help before you found your courage.
I would never have found it if it hadn't been for you.
I think I'll miss you most of all.
Are you ready now?
Yes. Say goodbye, Toto. Yes, I'm ready now.
Then close your eyes and tap your heels together 3 times. And think to yourself, there's no place like home.
Today, I am saying goodbye to all of you. Like Paul said goodbye to the church in Ephesus, and like Dorothy said goodbye to her friends in Oz. Like Paul, I am saying goodbye to one ministry setting as I move on to another. And like Dorothy, I am saying goodbye to all of you, my friends, who have walked right alongside me on that yellow brick road. And as I look back on the last few years, several similarities between Paul, Dorothy, and myself are apparent, but there are two in particular that I wanted to share with you today. The first is that all of our experiences had a purpose. Paul's purpose in Ephesus was to help the church there grow and thrive. The church had already been established in Ephesus before Paul got there by his colleague and friend Apollos, a Jew from Alexandria who was an eloquent speaker, but whose knowledge of the Holy Spirit was limited at best. When Paul arrived in Ephesus, he taught the believers about the things that Apollos had not, and he baptized them with the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, the true Son of God. Paul's purpose was to nurture that church in Ephesus that had already been started by Apollos, and to help bring the people closer to God and to Christ. Dorothy's journey to Oz also had a purpose, although it doesn't really become evident until the end of the film. We hear in the clip that her purpose was to gain a greater appreciation for the people and the places in her life, the farm in Kansas, that she doesn't have to look over the rainbow in order to find happiness and fulfillment. But you know, there's more to it than that. Had Dorothy never made that journey, had she simply clicked together the heels of her ruby red slippers and been transported back to Kansas, her friends would never have discovered the gifts that they had as well. Dorothy's purpose was to discover something about herself, but to also help her friends in Oz discover their own giftedness. Likewise, my purpose for coming to Gold Canyon is a lot like both Paul's and Dorothy's. I believe I was called to Gold Canyon to help nurture this community of faith and to also learn something about myself in the process. Over the last several years, we have grown in ministry together. I have offered you opportunities to learn and to grow in your faith. And you gave me opportunities to learn new things about myself and to develop new skills. You taught me the things they didn't teach me in seminary, things that I will take with me as I move on to lead the church in West Phoenix. And like Dorothy, I leave this place a different person than I was when I came. The second similarity that I wanted to share with you today is that we could not have accomplished our journeys alone. Paul was known to recruit a lot of people to help him in his task of nurturing and leading churches because he knew that task was too great for one person to handle. So early in his ministry, he recruited Timothy and Silas. And in Ephesus, he worked with Priscilla and Aquila, a husband and wife team whom he had met in Rome. Throughout his ministry, Paul sought the help of many individuals, like Aristarchus and Gaius, Justus and Titus, Lydia and Phoebe, Carpus and Lucius, and many, many more. Clearly, Paul could not do God's work on his own. He needed helpers, people he could trust to walk beside him along his journey. Likewise, Dorothy could not have done her journey alone either. Although she started her journey by herself, it didn't take long for her to find new friends along the way. The Scarecrow and Tin Man and Cowardly Lion not only kept her company, but they kept her safe along the way. And they benefited from her just as much as she benefited from them. And the same has been true for me, especially in these last few years. Now, I know that when I arrived at Gold Canyon, I was pretty green. But many of you took me under your wings and taught me the things that I needed to know. From Pastor Hugh and Wendy Rimes, I gained an appreciation for ministering to people in the hospital and at care centers. From Pastor Fay, I learned the value of having a true Bible scholar in your midst. And Pastor Bob taught me that no matter how many years you have been a preacher, you can still keep doing it and do it well. Doug and Cindy and the choirs and Uncommon Grace taught me that being a preacher and a musician are not mutually exclusive, that I really can do both. And Catherine and Wendy helped me remember how important it is to nurture the children and the youth in your church, something that I will be doing at Faith United Methodist. And from Pastor Fred, what can I say? You have been my mentor, my boss, my pastor, and my friend. And soon I will call you colleague. You offered me many opportunities to grow in my ministry. You allowed me to fail and to learn from those failures. You shared my laughter and many, many tears. And you gave me encouragement when I needed it the most. And it is because of your nurturing spirit that I am where I am today. And for that, I thank you. Words cannot express how much I love and appreciate all of you. This entire congregation has walked right beside me along the yellow brick road toward ordination. You gave me your love and support, and for that I will always be grateful. But just like Paul, who knew he had to leave Ephesus and go on to Jerusalem, I too must leave Gold Canyon United Methodist Church. Like Paul, I have no idea what the future holds for me. But David and I are very excited about the possibilities at this church. And we are so excited to be going there. And we know that with God walking right beside us, it's all going to be good. And I also know that a part of you goes with me. Gold Canyon DNA. That we will transplant into Faith United Methodist Church, and that will be nurtured by your prayers for us as part of the family of God. God calls all of us to do God's work at different times and in different places. Sometimes God's call is like a ton of bricks, and other times God's call is like a nudge. And you know, it doesn't really matter where we are in our lives. It doesn't matter if we are young or old. God first called me when I was in my late 30s. And when I didn't immediately respond, God continued to nudge me and nudge me until when I was almost 50 years old, I said to him, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." God called me to come to this place, to Gold Canyon. And now God is calling us to go to West Phoenix and serve a different congregation of believers and seekers. So as David and I fly over the rainbow to the west side of Phoenix to serve the wonderful people at Faith United Methodist, we thank you. We love you. And we ask that you pray for us, just as we will continue to pray for all of you. Will you pray with me? Oh, loving and gracious God, I thank you so much for the people of this church. I thank you for their nurturing spirits and for their call, for answering the call to ministry. Oh, Lord, continue to be with them, strengthen them, and help them nurture others in the faith. And help us all to recognize those nudges when you are calling us to do your work. And help us to be bold in saying, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.